Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to the fantastical world of TMS, where you can be a direct reason it's on the air. Support this show at patreon.com/TMS today. Coming up on the morning stream, Chicken Hat.
You can't have your cake and listen to it too.
I don't like streaming bees.
A little butt lip.
I survived the Hindenburg and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Sleuth and lies.
Non-asshole cake.
Tax filing simulator.
Oh, the huge manatee.
ATM toilets.
Johnson's what?
How rotten is your chicken leg?
Donkey porn.
Feeling good about proving a little girl wrong with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
War never changes.
War never changes. War never changes.
War never changes.
War never changes.
War never changes.
War never changes.
Hank and Peggy Hill, Billy.
The Morning Stream. What do you say? We get nipple to nipple.
Hello and welcome to TMS. It's the morning stream for May 7th, 2024. Scott Johnson here, Brian Ibbett there.
Oh, hi. Hello.
I feel like I finally have a little energy today after the trip. I've been so tired, just hammered. Yesterday. I was kind of worthless. I was just sort of like...
I know. Over the weekend, same for me, man. I was useless. I just exhausted.
Yep.
Couldn't do it. Yep. So.
Finally getting a little bit of wind, and that's good. Mm-hmm. Also, the weather's clearing. That's nice. We need some sun. Let's get some sun in here. Mm-hmm. What is this May snowfall BS? I didn't sign up for this.
Right. Yeah, we didn't. We fortunately haven't gotten anything like that. And actually, looks like the wind. I'm looking at the outside cover cam here.
Yep.
Oh, the cover cam check. The AccuWeather cover cam. Mm-hmm. And currently, no, very, very little wind. Only a couple leaves are moving. But boy, yesterday, trees coming down. One around a block from me. Basically, my house on the next block, their tree split. Like one part of it just pulled down right down the middle of the, of the trunk.
That's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. No cars underneath it. It went into the street, which is better than like landing on the house. But
aren't you in the middle of doing a fence thing with your neighbor, and all this wind is kind of ominous?
Totally in the middle of that. And the posts are up. The concrete is set. My job today is going to be to pop out there and just drill the. We took the fence panels off. I think I'm just going to be able to put the fence panels back on. Mm. Beep, 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 beep. And be done with it. That's the sound of beep, beep, beep. Yeah, that's the sound my Milwaukee cordless drill makes.
I like it. There's something about that sound, the real sound and you mimicking it that puts me in a place.
Totally,
yeah, it puts me in a special place. Makes me want Steve to come over and finish my bathroom. Anyway, it's us. It's TMS. It's, like we say, it's a Tuesday. We got stuff to talk about. Mike Pachulik, that guy, that dude.
Oh, that guy.
I forgot to bring it. Shit, I left it upstairs again. The whole point of this was I was going to show off his Wastelander thing, or his Fallout thing. So he printed that Walton Goggins, the ghoul, and it's amazing. But I have some sad news. So I don't know. You'll know about this because you do 3D printing. The hat looked kind of two-tone, and he said, "Oh, it was two kinds of filament. So it's black filament, and the hat." And that right down the not down the middle, but sort of sort of cut through it where one is shiny and the other is more matte, and it looked like two different kinds. It was fine. Yeah. It didn't matter. It all made a solid hat. And as far as I'm concerned, that's kind of wastelandy and cool anyway. But Taylor was like marveling at how cool this thing was. She was over yesterday and she's like, "Dad, this is so awesome." And she's like rolling around in her hand. I guess it was Sunday. And the hat fell off. She didn't know it wasn't attached.
It was, right, because it was just...
Just resting, you know?
Just resting on his head, yeah.
Which you want that, because you want him to be bald sometimes, you know? My role play goes deep. Anyway. the hat falls off, hits the floor, and breaks into two completely distinct pieces, one of the one filament and one of the other filament.
Right down, well, so it was like a little weak point between the two filaments when he had to change roles.
Yeah, so I reached out to him about glue recommendations, but maybe you'll know too. Yeah. Like, what do you think is a good glue?
Yeah, I mean, it's cyanoacrylic glue. My guess is, unless you really, really want to keep the two-tone look, I think Mike is already printing a new hat for you to send to you, and if he's not, I'm happy to do it. But
oh, is he? Maybe that's true. He might be doing that.
It'll take, you know, it's like, you know, you've got this thing that's kind of glued together. It may not set right because it's filament, and sometimes it doesn't break clean. And so putting the two pieces back together might have a little bit of space between them if the strands basically of filament are pointing out, then you can't really get a clean.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, some hairline ones between the two pieces. It's actually connected by them.
Yeah,
which is a little bit weird, and that would be hard to. I guess I could trim that and sand it, but
if he doesn't offer to print one for you, and I can't imagine he won't, then let me know and I'll print one for you. Here's what I'm amazed by. He handed that to you on Tuesday at the beginning of the board game deal.
Yep.
Eastman released that model, I think, on Sunday.
Whoa!
So he cranked that thing out as soon as Eastman released it or announced it or put up the STLs for it.
Wow.
And that's how quickly Mike operates. Unless he got it somehow early. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm on the same Patreon level as Mike, maybe.
Yeah. I wonder, because he worked for Interplay back when Fallout 1 and 2 were made.
Mm-hmm.
And was with the guys who went on to make the Wasteland 3 game.
Yeah.
So he's been around those people. It's possible he's got some insider-y thing going on.
Could know somebody at, I mean, he could know Eastman. Eastman might have given an early, I guess we'll find out, right?
Yeah, he'll let us know. But Mike's awesome. What a cool dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I'll show that tomorrow. I forgot to bring it down. It's pretty rad, though. It's very That's Walton. Really cool. It's like Walton Goggins is here with me, you know?
I know. It looks just like him, just like the Tio from Breaking Bad looks just like. The Eastman does such amazing work, man. Eastman is one of those people, if you are a 3D printer and you like busts of movie and TV characters and Marvel Comics characters, I don't think they can do DC anymore. I think he got the cease and desist from DC. Mm-hmm. Eastman is a great support on Patreon.
Yeah,
totally
he's
worth
really
it.
Good. It's interesting. DC is the same. They're the ones that gave me a cease and desist for those fat heroes they did years ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think DC is just more litigious than Marvel, which is interesting because you'd think Marvel would be, given their Disney, you know, ownership now. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd think, right? Yeah.
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 Well, he's great. And this thing is impeccable. I freaking love it.
For sure.
Hat be damned. Hat be damned.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the cyanoacrylic, the CYA glue, you're the cover your ass glue, basically.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It's something Smith and Bob Smith Industries is. The stuff is the best. And Bill will back me up on this, that the Bob Smith Industries, glue is the best glue to pick up.
I've never even heard of the name Bob Smith
Industries. Bob Smith Industries,
BSI-Inc.com.
Yeah,
your adhesive company for over 30 years. I want to know more about this Bob guy.
Bob Smith glue. That's glue so good, I put my unremarkable name on it.
Hell yeah! Let's see. Several. Is there a thing about the guy? Oh, there's no about us. I want to learn more about Bob Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, the stuff you want.
Sitting around making glue. That's awesome.
Bob Smith CA glue. Because there's the stuff that comes with the glue and the the spray that is the InstaSet, which basically is like, yeah, I don't want to have to sit here and hold this part for a minute. Like, I want you to instantly set that stuff. So.
Yeah, that's cool. And this and Bill's a fan. He knows Bob Smith. Really knows of the Bob Smith stuff.
Is he the one that absolutely knows of the Bob? Yeah.
I feel like we've had this
conversation. I think the reason I have the stuff I have is because Bill suggested it.
Have we mentioned how cool it was that he came to Vegas? It was great to see
Bill. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
And Brittany. It was great to see her.
And Britt. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to figure out a way to... I've got some ideas on how to incorporate them into Taskville a little bit more next year.
Nice.
Basically, if we can get every member of the TMS guest host or guest the segment host team there, then I'll figure out a way to make it all happen.
Awesome. Well,
we got to get Travis in there. I want to drag Dunaway out. We got to get...
Travis, you mean Mick Fleetwood is who you're talking about.
I mean Mick Fleetwood. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Good gosh, dude. It's the hat. It's the hair. It's the beard. It's the massive weight loss. He lost like 120 pounds or something.
He looks amazing.
It looked great. It looked great, man. You and your beard wasn't even purple. It was fantastic. All right. We got a call. Remember when we talked about Ugly Muffin was a great band name? It was a...
Yes, I can't remember anything about Ugly Muffin, the context of talking about Ugly Muffin.
But, yeah, it was something, I don't even know how it came up, but somehow we ended up with, hey, that'd be a great band name, and then we sort of moved on. Well, somebody wrote in and talked a little bit more about how that might work in a concert setting, so here's that call.
Hey, Song and Ballad. A few weeks behind, but y'all were talking about who Scott's band Ugly Muffin would open for. It's pretty obviously... Meatloaf and Corn, but then Encore by Cake.
Encore by Cake. So I made the mistake the other day. This reminds me. Not mistake, but I said online, boy, I really like Cake, the band.
Sure. And what's wrong with that?
Nothing, I would think. I thought that was the most innocuous thing you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got just buried by people saying, well, it would be great if their drummer wasn't a pedophile or something like that.
Oh no, do they have a...
So they've got some deal.
Crap.
Some kind of like, I don't know if this is old news. I hadn't heard about it. Former
Why does
drummer?
Everything good have to be ruined by men being dicks?
No kidding. Oh, here it is. Former Cake drummer gets 15 years to life for child molestation.
Oh God.
48-year-old Peter Ivan McNeil.
How do you afford your incarcerated lifestyle?
It was let's see, 2009 is when it happened.
A guy who has an orange shirt and orange pants. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a jacket, straight jacket. Let's see. This is a while ago, and I didn't hear about it. They're still touring.
I didn't hear about this either. Damn it, that sucks. We'll get a new drummer in there.
Yeah, they got a new guy, I think, so. It's all fine.
Oh, Travis says he was the drummer for only 3 years, 2001 to 2004. So it was after, like, it was even after the, Motorcade of Generosity. When did Motorcade? Motorcade
Moto.
Of Generosity came out.
Hello, Moto.
94. Yeah, exactly. So that's my cake.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about your cake, but that's our cake back then. Okay.
And Fashion Nugget and Prolonging the Magic. Yeah. So, I mean, come on. Yeah.
It's fine. All right. Still one of
plenty of cake, plenty of non-asshole cake. Okay. Go
good. And I'll hope that guy rots in jail. All right. Next up.
Exactly.
We got a thank you to the show and also a request. Here you go.
Hey, Skull and Bones. It's Biff Smith, Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm supposed to be doing my federal taxes right now, but instead I'm playing Slice and Dice, thanks to y'all's recommendation on TMS the other day. I own an AmberNick because of you guys. I've spent hundreds of hours on Slay the Spire. I need you guys to do me a favor. Take a break from the recommendations for a little bit. Let me get these federal taxes done, and then you can turn it all back on. You guys are killing me here. Keep up the great work. Great recommendation. Really puts me back in that Commodore 64 Bard's Tale days and even Eye the Beholder a little bit. So, yeah, great game.
Eye the
Beholder, great recommendation. Yeah. Keep up the great work. Love the show, though.
Yeah, you remember that? The Eye of the Beholder, dude.
Golly, yeah.
That was a thing, right?
Was that Bungie? No, what was that?
Who did that? That was...
Or am I thinking, am I confusing it?
Hold on. I had to be Holder Game. I can't remember
now. That's what I'm, not Bungie, but.
Oh, Westwood Studios at the time. This is pretty old. Oh, yeah, it's like a dungeon crawler turn-based thingy. It's on Steam still, looks like.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, I take it back. You can no longer buy it on Steam, but it used to be on there. If you own it on Steam, you can still play it. Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it. Forgotten Realms, everybody.
You know what game I really like, Scott, is Getting Taxes Done. Oh yes. What a great game.
Yeah.
That's a game I'd say play before anything else. It's a little bit late, though, if you haven't gotten them done or you file an extension or whatever. But
this is the first year in 3 years that I didn't do an extension because my accountant was late. So
Okay.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it that we did that. Pulled it off somehow. Got it all on time.
And we've already spent our return on Fence and
I just spent mine on a new tablet and pencil.
A new Apple products.
Yeah. I'll just pretend that was from taxes and nothing else.
I want to personally thank Scott Johnson for keeping the lights on here in our weird spaceship donut with his purchase of a new iPad Pro.
So I didn't see any of that, but did he do it's all like they usually do. He walks around.
They zoom from person to person and stuff like that. I do like the highly produced, you know, there's something fun about that. We'll get the keynote thing in a month. We'll get him on stage with the big screen behind him. And now here's the Jonas Brothers. All of a sudden I'm Lorne Michaels. Here's exactly. Yeah. Stoic Squirrel said it just after I did. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's a really good Lorne Michaels.
There's a little bit of a comparison there, but,
sure. Yeah. Both are running successful organizations. Both are, both are the least funny thing about the things they run.
Right, and their voice is fun to make fun of.
Yeah, absolutely. But they clearly know what they're doing, and they're profitable human beings. So congratulations, they belong together.
Yeah.
We got one more thing to do here before we get to the news. We haven't gotten to the news in a long time, so excited about that. But let's do one of these.
Yesterday is history today.
So I'm literally going to take yesterday, this day in history from yesterday, which matches our
clip better. More, that's more fun than today's history yesterday.
Yeah, unless there was a good one. But yesterday there was one that was big, and I missed it. And so I wanted to mention it. It was yesterday, time in the year 1937, when the German airship Hindenburg exploded in flames in Lakehurst, New Jersey, killed 35 people of the 97 on board. I didn't realize a bunch of people survived that. I thought they all did.
I didn't either. I thought everybody, like, you look at the photo of that thing, and it's like, how could anyone survive that? How did they get to the ground with that thing? I guess it was pretty close to the ground, and they just jumped.
Must have, right? Because that thing is all on fire.
Oh, the humanity!
Right. If you're going to yell, the humanity, you expect everyone to die, but I guess only about not quite half of them did. Anyway, and then one person on the ground.
Indiana Jones and his dad survived, so that was good.
And the Nazi he threw out on the luggage.
Threw out. Yeah, exactly. He saved that Nazi's life. Wow, way to go, Indy.
Way to go, Indiana. We named the dog Indiana. So anyway, one on the ground died. I didn't remember that either. I thought it was everybody on board who died. So there was some. I learned a little something. But anyway, that's a big historic moment.
Yeah.
That's when we decided as a people. That's where the timeline splits. And in another dimension timeline, we have dirigibles and big, huge flying balloon type things. Transit. You and I are going to Vegas in a giant balloon. In that other reality.
That's right. In the fringe reality. Yeah, absolutely.
Because they gave it up. The point where they said no more of these. Right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Doesn't the Led Zeppelin, the first Led Zeppelin album cover had the Hindenburg on it, didn't it?
I don't remember now. There was something like that. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, it's the black and white.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, there's your fun look at
life. Kind of interesting. I mean, all right, so that album came out 71?
69.
Came out before we were born.
Wow.
And that was like 32 years after the actual disaster. So that would be like somebody doing using the 9/11 Twin Towers for their album cover in like about 10 years. Yeah. And it still feels like it might be too soon.
Yeah, that was a little bit.
I guess that's more of a, this is more of a, like a, just an accident that killed a bunch of people as opposed to a terrorist attack.
That's true. That's true. This was more akin to like a mini Titanic kind of problem.
Right. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that anyone wants either of those things. Well, anyway, there you go. That's some fun stuff this morning. Now about some newsy news here. That sound familiar to you, by the way?
I freaking love the Remo Williams soundtrack. That right there. I heard that like at the very beginning, boring ass shots of New York for their opening credits. Yeah. But I'm hearing that. I'm like, my God, I am instantly transported back to the mid 80s watching this damn thing.
It's actually really good, that riff. And
yeah. Chun, you're amazing. No, I'm better than that.
Women should be at home making babies.
Right. Brian, tell us who the news is.
If you've not watched it, you got to get to it. All right. The news is brought to you by Group Spends 9 Hours Returning Jewelry.
This is probably an easy one. I already did this one, right? This was the goal.
Lord of the Rings again.
I wanted to throw you. This was my goal, is to throw you, making you think, oh, he's already done this. Or has he done this? It didn't work because you got it right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You got it right. But I thought I could fool you. Because you'd think, certainly he won't do it this twice.
He certainly would not. No, Scott and his ironclad memory and...
Yeah, of course not. No, I knew I doubled this one. I just wasn't sure if it would trick you or not.
All right.
I was hoping it would trick you, and it didn't trick you.
Can't trick me.
Can't be tricked.
Untrickable.
Here's a story for you. This is a hospital story. Hospital staff plead with bite victims to please stop bringing your snakes to the emergency departments.
No, wait. All right. I feel like we've done this story before, too.
Have we done this story? We might have.
We talked about like how they were bringing us to show, this is the snake which done bit me. Is it poisonous?
Oh, yeah, we did. Okay, people we are did do this. You're that, right. Yeah. We did it before we left.
Yeah. Guys, everything. Listen, it was right before TMS Vegas. We can't be.
No,
we can't be held responsible for forgetting things we did right before.
Yeah, how are we supposed to remember this shit? Did we say it was Australia? I don't know if we did that. It's
I don't think we did. It was Australia.
Yeah. And you guys are weird over there. We get it.
Yeah.
Well, then moving on to this story I know is new.
Yeah.
Nearly $40,000 in cash was found in restrooms in a Marysville business or businesses.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's a lot of cash. No kidding. Let's go on vacation there. That sounds like a great place to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. The toilets are ATMs, basically.
It says here, money mystery in Marysville's police trying to figure out where nearly $40,000 came from. More than $25,000. Why do they say more than $40,000? Well, anyway, more than $25,000 was found in the restroom of the Avalon Theater on Saturday, and then Thursday night, more than $12,000 was. Oh, I see why they did it.
That's why.
Yeah. Was found in a KFC on Delaware Avenue. Investigators say they're pretty sure the discoveries are related, but they don't know why the cash is there or where it came from. "Quote: We're trying to figure out whose money it is and what possible connection it could be." To anything that we could see in the city, says Maryville's police captain, Nate Sachs.
Nate Sachs.
They have a mall store. You can go buy a Nate Sack. Very comfortable. That's
probably the most G-rated thing you could have said about Captain Nate Sachs.
That's right. I people wanted me to go... I was trying to think of... I can't think of the name of it. I was going to say I went that lawnmower movie by... Who's the director that made the Lawnmower Movie? What's wrong with me? He also made Dune 84.
Oh, you're talking about George Miller.
No, not George Miller.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, David Lynch.
David Lynch.
Yeah.
So everybody wanted me to go, what's the dark one with the... shit. I can't think of the name of it. There's one that's really violent and gross and hypersexualized, and then there's the Lawnmower one. And to me, those are the two opposites of filmmaking.
Oh, yeah. Like the one Wild at Heart was pretty...
That was pretty racy.
Bloody and... That's pretty racy, yeah.
What's the one with, shit. I can't think of shit today. This is a day of not thinking of shit. Well, anyway, doesn't matter. The bills were found in multiple denominations, like fives, tens, and even $100 bills. Police are urging anyone who might find other cash dumps to contact them.
I'm sure they will, yeah.
These seem criminal, don't you think? Like, this is not somebody just leaving their money. It's too much.
Well, it doesn't say... and I'm sure they didn't want to say how they were found, because that might, you know, they, if somebody's going to come forward, they need the proof as to, well, all right, in what vessel was the money stored? Mm. If it was in a wallet in the restaurant of the Avalon Theater, I don't know how you fit $25,000 into a wallet, but,
no.
You know, was it in a bag, a cloth sack with dollar signs printed on the front of it?
Yeah.
with a burglar mask on
makes,
the floor.
Right, it makes it? You wonder, just because I think you're right. They're being cagey because they want to solve this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Otherwise, they would say.
And they probably don't want internet sleuths to get involved. So it's like, was found in the rafters of the Avalon Theater bathroom or whatever.
Pretty sure I have less patience for internet sleuths than almost anything in the world. I hate them, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Whenever
a
documentary starts talking to them as if they're an authoritative aspect of any of this, unless you're doing a documentary about how bad internet sleuthing is, that's right. Interesting. Bring that on. I'll watch that.
But incorporating them as a you know, on the same level as people who went to school for this sort of thing and know what they're doing with and didn't just watch 10 seasons of L.A. Law or Law and Order. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, I just thought of a new, this is completely unrelated. I just thought of a new justification for my tablet purchase earlier.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because I've already given you a few justifications. Here's my latest justification, you guys. This just in. Back in my Wacom days, before this thing just kind of usurped that whole thing, and my Wacom is gathering dust somewhere, and I've sold multiple Wacoms because I don't use them anymore. Those things were way more money than what I just spent. I'm still spending less money for the top end with the new pencil, the whole thing.
For the Wacom tablet with the screen and stuff in it, which is what you want. Yeah. And that doesn't have the resolution or the matte screen business or any of that.
Yeah. And plus you have to have a computer to run the damn thing. And you're paying way more for that thing than I do for this. So I just, again, feel perfectly justified, which is why I keep coming up with these excuses, because clearly I'm confident in my justification. All right. Anyway, if you find any cash while you're in Marysville, where even is this? Where's Marysville?
There's one in Washington. There's also one in Ohio, and I don't know which one. I guess I could go to the link of the
feels like
ABC 6 on your side.
It feels like an Ohio story to me. Oh, it is Ohio. There it is on the article. Marysville, Ohio.
Oh, right there. Marysville, Ohio, right there.
Yeah, I missed it. Let's see. Did it say anything else about? No, that was it. Yep.
I like the, you know, the person at the police station who's in charge of laying out all of the money so they can take a picture of it for the news and for the articles and stuff, like basically arranging every bill and even sorting them by which ones are you know, post- multicolor bills versus the ones that are just green and
yep. Do you have any of the old? I don't have any old bills anymore. I don't have many bills anyway, but
I'm sure I do somewhere. Yeah, I might in one of my many places I hide money in this house.
Yeah, because Brian's paranoid. The government's coming.
Right. No, I've converted that all into gold bullion. I don't have any more of that stuff.
I do have this wad here.
Oh, your wad. Yeah, which is the old bills. Yeah.
It's fake, though. I wish this was real. This would pay for that tablet.
I know. That would be... We got to figure out a way to incorporate that into a task in Vegas.
Oh, that's a great idea, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, or we just take it and we make bets on what the person does when you leave it in a casino, what the first thing they do is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. And then just watch them walk up to that thing. That's a great idea. Why don't I? Because I don't want to lose this. That's why I don't want to just give it away.
Right. Well, we positioned several large tadpoolers around the said entrapment plant.
That's a good idea. I like it. These are just on Amazon. You want to get some, like, it's basically movie prop money is what this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I love this stuff, but
it's like $5 or $10 or something. Or is it more for that?
This may have been like 10. It wasn't much. It was pretty cheap.
Can we put it on a fishing line?
Yeah.
Have it on the ground. So, you know, they see it down there. Like, there's no way they're going to see the fishing line in the casino carpet. And you just, like, slowly pull it. And you try to guess how far you can make them go before they're like, okay, well, somebody's playing a joke on me.
Yeah. Sign me up for your prank YouTube channel. This is my
But you know there's going to be at least 5 feet where they're still going to go for it, like, That's a lot of money. It's moving away from me, but I still want it.
Yeah, I want that money that clearly isn't tied down to anything, and I'm still going to chase it because it's big money. You're in Vegas. You need money.
Yeah, exactly. It's Vegas. You don't know what that money's going to do.
No. You don't know where it's been. It's been in some hooker's G-string, that's right. But whatever.
Probably, yeah.
Totally forgot to tell you about this.
Yeah.
This dream I had, because what you were describing sounds like a dream. So this is a dream I had last night. And you were in it, but you were as much a victim as I was or anyone else. You were just like, there was no significance to you being in my dream. You just happened to be in it. Or maybe there is, and we'll figure it out. There were a few people that I knew, but it was a lot of family, and it was you and a few tadpoolers, I think. Anyway, the way the dream went is we lived in a government reality thing where mostly it's the same as we all live now, except there was one requirement. Every 30 days, everybody who was in whatever country it was you are required to wear a hat. And on the side of the hat, on the left side, you had to hang a fresh, uncooked chicken leg.
Oh, God. Okay.
So like just a drumstick.
Just a raw drumstick.
And you had to wear that for 30 days. You can't take it off.
Oh, I thought this was for one day every 30 days. You need to do this every 30 days?
No, you wear it for 30 and you wait for it to rot, basically, right?
Yeah.
Well, and shouldn't then take long. Yeah. And then the end of the 30 days, which is well rotten by then.
Yeah.
You get a new one and then you just keep going like that. Yeah.
Do you get a new hat? Because that hat is going to get pretty gross after a month of having a rotting chicken leg stuck in the side of it.
While it wasn't clear that you had to, I would agree with you that would be the way to go. But it was very odd, and I still quite don't know what to make of it. Chicken legs rotting, everybody had to have it. If you didn't, you were arrested, Brian. You'd be thrown in jail.
Did you get to choose the hat? Like, could I have a wider brimmed hat to just make sure I don't get any chicken rot juice on the side of my face? Like,
well, it appeared in the dream that hats didn't have to all be the same, because you were wearing something very different than I was, than Kim was. Good. Everybody had different hats.
I want the urban sombrero is what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. The rule seemed to be just you had to have a piece of chicken and it had to rot all month. And everybody had to do it. So you're just in
full public. Size, or were drumettes allowed?
No, full size, like a big old leg.
Full size, no drumettes.
Yeah, no, like turkey leg at Disneyland, not like that big, but like.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Kind of middle range.
Yeah.
About like that. Yeah. And you'd hang it there, and everybody was fine with it. We would be at a public place. Like, I remember in the dream, there was a Subway for some reason. We were all, not the restaurant, but the transportation tube. Right, yeah. And we were all in there, and it was just everyone packed in holding bars, and we all had rotting chicken.
Just all chicken legs.
Yeah.
It
was weird, dude.
Yeah. I think if someone were to give me the choice of what I have now, which is not really ever remembering my dreams or having dreams like you do and I'm forced to remember them.
Yeah.
I think I've got it pretty good. I'll take my bliss of not remembering my dreams and who knows what happened in them, and I'm fine. And
I think you are correct in all of the things you just said. You're the right one here.
Would you? I mean, that's a thing, right? Because sometimes these things can lead to really funny illustrations of yours. I'm sure you've taken some of these things and turned them into drawings.
Oh yeah, a few times. Yeah, sure.
So would you probably would not trade your weird ass dreams for not dreaming at all, or not at least not remembering your dreams?
No, I wouldn't. But I also have had nights where I didn't dream at all. And when those happen, it's very welcome. I like those.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But there are times, like I just drew something yesterday that was based on a dream. Look at this. Let me show you this.
Okay.
This is called.
Speaking of which, is the dream box handy? I mean, can we look up raw chicken legs and hats or something?
Oh my gosh, can you imagine if that was even in there?
I imagine hats are in there. Hats probably represent something.
Probably, like in general, yeah.
Yeah.
The chicken leg part. Holy shit! Like, who's
probably
doing that?
Not? You're just hungry for barbecue.
So this little alien guy did last night, and I call it first contact. This is based on the dream from the previous night.
I like his blue nipples.
He's got nice blue nipples.
Yeah.
I almost had one of his tentacles rubbing.
Got purple nurples, basically, is what he's got.
Yeah. Yeah, watch out. He's coming to your town next. all right, how about this one? Yakuza lieutenant in Tokyo Mm-hmm. So one of these mobster fellers, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
was arrested in Tokyo for stealing Pokemon cards.
Oh gosh! Wow.
Seems like it's like getting
just busted that Snorlax ring wide open.
That's right. It's like getting not Post Malone. What's his name?
Who was the famous mobster in Chicago? What's wrong with me?
Al Capone.
Al Capone. Post Malone.
Post Capone. I think we need.
It's a kind of cheese, isn't it? Post Capone.
Yeah. Anyway. Post Capone. Yes, exactly.
But
my soft cheese is like Post Capone.
Because they got him on tax charges, right? Which seems
tax evasion. Yeah.
Like a silly thing compared to the real hardcore crimes he did.
Right. Well, this is their way of like, all right, we got him. You know, we didn't get him on all the motorcycle theft or the money laundering thing, but we got him on stealing that Jigglypuff.
That's right.
that shiny Jigglypuff card.
I wonder what the hot big money maker Pokemon card is now. It's probably
I'm sure there's like a Mewtwo or something. I think those
there's
a reason those things are you know, like the upper echelon of Pokemon cards.
Do you ever play the real card game?
No, I've never played the real.
I haven't either.
Like Tristan and I, we would basically, when he was a little kid and he wanted to collect them, we would basically play it like war. And we'd divide his deck in half, we'd flip him up, and it was, you know, resource card, but then we'd flip up a Pokemon card, and whatever his power value was, what we would treat as the war, the numbers you'd battle against each other.
Nice. The real rules, but you had your fun anyway.
Not even close to the real rules. I started reading those rules, and I Scott Johnsoned that that instruction manual.
I even did this in Vegas. We were at the game board game thing, and I remember just thinking, "Let's just play around. Let's just play around."
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to. I learn as I go. Let's go. Let's get this going. I think part of that might be the way video games tutorialize. I'm so used to that I want that. Well,
that's
true.
That the first that usually you learn to play the game in a video game by playing the first level or a. Oh, look at these new powers I've got. Let me try using them on that wall. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, I can climb that wall.
Yeah, and you may get a few text prompts, but for the most part, you are learning as you go, and I just prefer that, I don't know.
Press the square rapidly to attack.
Yep. But when Deucey sits down and goes, all right, and he pulls out a book, I'm like, oh, okay.
That's one of the greatest things about Action Castle, which was... gotta do it. Which is the fact that we didn't need to know anything going in except you're gonna answer in a prompt, an actual prompt that you would say in a game.
And I managed to screw that up, by the way, the very first thing.
Well, but somebody had to be the sacrificial lamb, and you happened to be first. And Deucey, I think, would have done whatever sound you made as the first utterance out of your mouth, whether it was even like an he would have said, is not a valid command, and then moved on to me. So somebody had to be the sacrificial lamb, and if it wasn't you, it would have been me, if I would have been standing closer to Deucey. So
I took a bullet, but it was really fun. That was a fun freaking thing. Great icebreaker.
That was so fun, yeah.
We should do that every year, just a different one.
We should, totally.
Oh, make it a tradition, Deucey. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this Yakuza guy, he's being accused of taking.
Wow.
That's terrible. Stealing these
Strickland
cards.
Strickland just rolled his eyes to that dad joke. Wow.
I mean, I would roll my eyes if I were him. Let's see. There's a whole bunch of flavor text here. It says, but in a real world, Yakuza 10 has been arrested for a crime that doesn't have much in terms of panache, stealing Pokemon cards. The Tachikawa precinct of Tokyo Metropolitan Police have announced the arrest of Kiita Sato, a 39-year-old kanbu or officer within the Takaganawa family in Japan, second largest crime organization syndicate in Japan. Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with these people.
No.
They don't even get arrested that much because they're scary.
Listen, I've been watching the new season of Tokyo Vice. We just started watching that. And not a group you want to mess around with.
Mm-mm. I've been dying to watch that. I still haven't seen it.
Good. Yeah. So far, so good. Elgort, I think, is Benjamin Buttoning us. I think he is getting younger as we watch.
Dirty bastard.
He looks like he's 14 in this show now, and last season he looked like he was 19. So I don't get it.
Weird. Can't wait for the next season where he's a toddler. Is that show still? Something got famously canceled too early. It's not this though. It's another Japanese themed thing. Like, the HBO one.
Not Shogun.
Not Shogun. That was a one-off.
Tokyo Vice is HBO, but
what am I thinking of? It's Tokyo Vice.
Let me see if it got canceled after the current season.
Because Ken Watanabe's in that, right? Yeah. Well, maybe I'm thinking of that then.
Series was renewed for a second season, which premiered just this last February. Nothing. It's not saying anything about getting renewed or canceled on Wikipedia.
What's the one that's set in the turn of the century? Maybe I'm thinking of that, and it's not Shogun. It's HBO Japan show cancel. Let's see if Tokyo Vice is still there.
Pachinko was Apple TV Plus, and as far as I know, Pachinko is a one and done. Like, I don't think there's going to be a.
Oh yeah, you recommend that
thing was great. Yeah, it was so good.
I need to see that still.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm thinking of.
Only very little about the actual game Pachinko, but more about the families that are ping-ponging.
Yeah.
Hold on. There we go. Getting calls. Why am I getting calls? I'm on Do Not Disturb.
Yeah, what's that about? Is it family? Tell them to F off.
Yeah.
Listen, family. I don't care what your emergency is. Freaking go away, family.
Back off, fam.
I'm about to get a bunch of family in town, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
Some of it. All right. Let's see. What else we got? I like this. North Carolina child's monster in the closet was, in fact, 50,000 bees.
Oh, God.
It was in the wall.
Thank you. No.
I think this necessitates this.
I don't like bees.
Haven't played the real clip in a while. Toddler told her mom that monsters were in her closet, but in fact, there were more than 50,000 bees in there. A mother of three children under 4 years old was met with a terrifying surprise when she and her husband investigated why a handful of bees had flown into the attic of the couple's North Carolina home. After a visit by a pest control company and multiple beekeepers, a thermal camera finally revealed where the bees had gone to a massive hive they had built inside the wall of her daughter's room, where the girl was convinced she had heard a monster of some kind lurking. At first, I thought it was a body, says Ashley Massis Class. She told People magazine.
Ashley Massis Class. Yeah, for sure.
Does that look
Ashley
right?
Massis Class.
Maybe it's Massis? 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 Anyway.
Maybe I'm thinking Massis Class.
Massis Class.
Hi, I'm Brian Ibbett, and welcome to my Massis Class.
Yeah, this is my Massis Class, not to be confused with Master Class. It's like you'd have to say, it's like Transmorphers for Transformers.
Right, exactly. This is the Blumhouse version or the, what is that one? The Toxic Avenger group, whatever they're. Trauma. This is the trauma version of Masterclass.
There you go. Couldn't remember that. Beekeeper did not have his bee gear on yet, it says. I didn't know you could get bee gear. I guess it's like...
Bee gear!
It'd be like the protective suit thing. Probably that.
Yeah, right.
He took a hammer, knocked on the wall. Bees came swarming out like a horror movie. There were streams of bees. What do you call it? A swarm of bees is not a stream. It's a swarm. Why didn't she say that? Oh, I guess it streamed out.
Because it came out. Yeah. They were streaming.
Yeah, they were streaming bees.
Some of them playing League of Legends. Some of them were...
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Just bee feet videos, really, a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. That's the hot new thing. The wall, let's see. And the wall where he hit was oozing honey, but it looked like blood because it was really dark honey running down my daughter's pink walls. It looked very strange. That's horrifying, dude.
This is Amityville horror stuff right here.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, no, thanks. Nope.
All right.
Candyman.
Got three more. Hold on to those.
Yep, three more. Yep, we'll save those.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Bobby's going to be here. Yeah, that's right. Bobby on a Tuesday. That's because we got, normally we were going to have Amy, but she is busy today. She's got a thing with her son and is all tied up. So we have Bobby stepping in for a little science on a Tuesday. We also have a call for him, which we'll play before we get to it. We'll get to all that in a minute, though, after Brian plays a song.
Yeah, this is great. If you like kind of the more mellow stuff, like Mumford & Sons, Lumineers, I equate this guy a lot to Noah Kahan, who's become a recent favorite of mine. Mm. This is a guy named Donovan Woods. Big thanks to The Syndicate for sending this one over to me, by the way. He's got an upcoming album. It's called Things Were Never Good If They're Not Good Now. comes out July 12th via End Times, End Times Music. End Times.
Did they have any idea how great it is that they have a company called End Times for a show like ours?
I do love that.
Yeah. It's really great.
Donovan Wood. So this is the first single from the album. It's called Back for the Funeral. Here is Donovan Woods.
Katie got divorced, moved back in with her mom. Needed a fresh start, dyed her hair blonde. She is telling me this in the parking lot of the Burlington Mall. We are older now, she's still beautiful. I'm back for the funeral. Your hometown's just the first place you don't understand. And your family's just strangers you know like the back of your hand. The higher you think you're above it, the harder you fall. It's a penthouse view of a brick wall. I'm back for the funeral. You can build yourself a rocket, you can ride it to the moon. You'll still wake up some morning in your old bedroom. And it's not gonna kill you, but it feels like it will. When your shithead friend takes a month worth of pills. I am back for the funeral. After the service, we'll all meet up at the bar. Where my dad used to drink, now he just drinks in the yard. And we'll laugh about all the young dumb dreams we had. And we'll pretend we're all only sad, 'cause we're back for the funeral. And I'll call you in the morning to make sure you're alright. 'Cause I don't remember getting home, but I woke up, I'm fine. And I was hoping I would see you. And how fucked up is that? That somebody's gotta die for us to call each other back.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
He is a carbuncle on the rump of degenerate theatrical performers, and he should make amends for his consummate act of asininity.
Go play your ballerina ball. Just leave your penis in a bucket.
And we're back. Brian, who was that one more time?
Sure. That's a guy named Donovan Woods. He's got a brand new album coming out soon. Things were never good if they're not good now. It comes out July 12th. But you're hearing this first single now, thanks to us and the Syndicate. It's Back for the Funeral. That was Donovan Woods.
Very cool. I have a music recommendation before I pull Bobby in.
Yeah.
I'm always on the hunt for some good, I don't know even what brand of EDM it is, but it's just kind of, I like driving cyberpunk-y sort of heavy, electronica. I'm a big fan.
Crystal Method kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. There's others and my brain's dead, but I found this group just totally randomly. I was just searching around. I don't know if it's a dude or a group, but it's called, my brain. Hold on. Instead of Sector 7, that's how I remember it. Instead of Sector 7, it's Vector 7 with a V. Okay. High recommendation. If you like what I just described, that kind of electronica, it's real good.
Nice. Yeah, I'll check that out. Sounds good.
That was my soundtrack yesterday, and it was great. Hype me up. All right, Bobby time. Let's get him in here. Let's get some science Bobby. Under our belt. It's always nice to see Bobby. We got to see him in person. Now we get to see him virtually.
I'm assuming he's still wearing that pink lamé jacket.
Him dancing with Tanner. I'm surprised he didn't get COVID because of the Tanner dance. But
no kidding, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess maybe he gave it to him and he just hasn't owned up to the fact that he's patient zero.
Didn't think about that.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
Robert, welcome to the program. Science! Oh, shit. Why'd that play twice? It's good to have you back, sir. You didn't get the COVID, did you? The Rona?
Science of Echoes.
Yeah. Nope, still no COVID after all these years.
Oh, are you another one who's been COVID free the whole time?
Yeah, at least I've never tested positive for COVID. There that doesn't go. Mean I haven't had it, I suppose.
But you might have had it and had no symptoms, but you would have known if you had some severe symptoms, obviously.
I sometimes wonder if, there are plenty of times when I was feeling under the weather, but it wasn't a full-blown cold and all that kind of, and I wouldn't have tested because it was just like, oh, I feel a little sniffly and I'm not going anywhere this weekend anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Nice.
I could see that.
I don't blame you, yeah.
But not early on. Like, every time every time the pressure changed in the air, I was checking myself during, that first year and a half or so. But after that, I might have had, like I said, like a stuffy nose or something for a day. And it's possible that that was COVID and it was not something that I tested for. And
you were one of those guys who just got the non-symptomatic or barely symptomatic, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, but I wasn't. I didn't have any symptoms at all. I didn't get any kind of under the weather feeling from our Vegas trip.
No, me neither.
Wash your hands. Yeah. Don't touch your face. That's my rule.
So I know Brian loves my streaks. I have another streak I haven't talked about. Here's my streak.
You've talked about it on Twitter.
Have I? I did. I probably did. Not on the show, though.
There's some streaks of yours that I don't like.
Yeah, you don't want all my streaks. Trust me. Here's my one streak, though, that still kind of baffles me because I don't know why this is. And maybe there's science behind it. Maybe your immune system gets boosted when you're high intensity or something. I don't know. But at no time have I ever gone to a Comic-Con, a BlizzCon, a TMS event, Nerdtaculars back in the day, any and all of those things, never come home with a illness, never had a cold the week later, none of that, never get concrete. And I do have this thing where I never touch my face and I wash my hands a lot.
You do a really good job of not touching your face. Yeah, I feel like there's...
as I touch my
face. You can do the not touch your face thing and still just one of those viruses just somehow gets into your eye or you inhale or something. But
And that's why I'm surprised. I thought I would have had some.
I'm surprised too. Yeah.
I don't know why. I just got lucky. Maybe it's
strong constitution is what you've got.
Oh, I don't know about that. But I can tell you this. Bobby's here. We're going to do some science. Bobby, I got a phone call for you first. We've been holding on to it for a while and I keep forgetting to play it.
All right.
This is about air travel and you and your pilot's license and all that. All right. Cool. So here you go.
Hey, this is Bruce from Oregon regarding Bobby's airplane with avgas. The difference between avgas and regular gas is avgas actually has lead in it still. So it's still leaded gas, which you don't want to use in your car, it will clog your catalytic converters. But it's also 100 octane, so it is higher. I actually use it in my dirt bikes and chainsaws because it's non-ethanol, so you don't have to worry about the gas going bad. Love the show, though.
So that tracks the way that... Because you talked about the fuel types before, and we were trying to make sense of it.
Yeah, and I'm actually surprised I didn't think of saying that, because the type of gas that I use for the planes that I fly, just the piston airplanes, it's called 100 low lead. I can't remember exactly what the 100 means, but I know the LL is low lead, and so it's still got lead in it. So yeah, absolutely right.
Nice.
That is a big difference. I didn't know about the ethanol portion of it, though. So
yeah,
and I didn't know that ethanol is what made our regular gasoline go bad. I'm learning a lot from this call.
I didn't know that either. Is that always true? Like regular gas ethanol is the problem if it goes bad? Like what, sour? Like quits working right or what's?
Never had like Have you ever had like an old car that sat in the garage, or like a lawnmower, or even just a gas can that had gas in it for a long time and it gets kind of sludgy?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I guess I have. Yeah. I didn't know what that meant. Yeah.
From like lawnmower, like you accidentally don't use up all your gas over the fall and winter when you've got your lawnmower gas thing, and it gets a little gross. Yeah.
That's why you always hear people say, like, if you have a car that sits in the garage, like an old car, that you need to crank it and run it a little bit every once in a while, because you don't want that all that fuel sitting in the lines and stuff.
Interesting. I'm going to remember that next time I, take an old mower or whatever and try to fire it up and wonder why it doesn't. Maybe it's just that. Maybe we got shit gas.
Just be that you let it. You didn't winter treat it.
Yeah. I always thought gas lasted forever, so I'm learning something. I just thought it was one of those materials, not materials, but liquids, where once refined, zombies could come and we could just keep all the gas in a tank somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought it was permanent, but shows
I wonder
what I
if
know.
You could just stir it every once in a while.
Maybe.
If that would be enough. Yeah, might be.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm going to look into this, though, now that I... And it's being said that ethanol is the problem. I didn't know that.
So. Well, there you go. Don't drink it. That's all I know for
sure. That's what this segment's all about, is learning, isn't it?
Yeah. This is the learning channel, as far as for good or bad. That's what you're here for. Well, Bobby, give us some TLC and tell us what we're learning today. What's going on in the science world?
You know what? I learned a lot about superstition over the past week. Would you think? What about you guys?
Yeah, that's a
superstition. I mean,
you see it all over the place in casinos. You've got the people who are like, oh, don't. The ones for craps crack me up. Like, never put a $50 bill on the table. Never say the word seven when you're standing at a craps table. It's bad luck.
Do you have anything like that, Brian, that you do, like any kind of, even if it's not, even if you know it's all bullshit, do you do anything?
I know it's like bunk. For whatever reason, when I grab the dice, I bump them on the table and then I toss them. And I don't know if that's, it's instinctual to me now. And I don't know if it's it's not a superstition thing, because I know dice have no memory. You could roll five sevens and the next dice have just as much of a chance of being a seven as they ever did.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I tap them on the table and then I toss them. And I might just be like there's part of me is thinking that I do it to placate the superstitious people around the table. Because if they don't see that I do something to improve my luck, they'll think, well, he don't believe in luck, so I'm going to bet against him, kind of thing.
Yeah,
exactly. It's dice and craps are a really good one, because there's tons of superstitions around that, right?
Yeah.
I think people swear up and down, and I don't know where you stand on this, Brian, but people swear up and down that there's a technique to throwing the dice. And I don't think that that's true.
When you say like a technique, like you mean dice setting, where you position the dice exactly the same way and you use muscle memory to try and toss them the same way so you can.
Right.
Yeah. There are people on, who believe that they can do this. And I've seen YouTube videos where somebody's able to do it. You don't know what kind of creative editing they're doing, but that back wall is a spongy, multifaceted little kind of...
Yeah, even if just tossing the dice wasn't enough, which it probably right. is, but they right. make the back wall of a craps table like
it's shaped chaos like theory
sound baffling.
On. Yeah, exactly.
And it will not, it's not gonna, nothing. And the rule is with crafts, it has to hit the back wall.
It has to touch the back wall. If you, you know, if you make the mistake once, they'll say, put a little more moxie into it, buddy. You know, they'll,
a little more moxie.
Exactly. They'll tell you something. But, even if it hits the floor of the craps table first, then bounces into the back wall, that's fine. I usually try and like throw it just enough to where it hits the back wall and then comes forward. But,
Do you think if they didn't have that rule, though, there would be a technique that would ensure a higher percentage of the way your dice landed?
I think it would help. If you put a robot, this always fascinates me, like thinking, all right, if you create a robot that always used the same amount of energy to throw the dice, and mm-hmm. it always did it the same way, it's always following mm-hmm. the same path, the same track, and you didn't have that back wall, what would that do to the randomness of the dice? Because you still have other factors of like the breeze blowing in the room or something. Mm-hmm. But I'm one that would be I'd love to see if somebody's done that experiment.
That's interesting. Right. Yeah.
Right. And I think it would be interesting to see, but I think the reason they have you throw it against the back wall is not so much to make it more random, but probably just to avoid like the argument, right? Like, mm-hmm. like how far is far enough to throw it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because certainly if I just pick up the dice and drop it like an inch in front of me, I can affect it somehow, right?
Yeah.
But all of those superstitions, how would you define a superstition in general, do you think?
Oh, gosh, how would I define it? Superstition
is
usually fear-based and is usually like... thing that either someone doesn't know that there is an explanation for, is too lazy to look for it, or just straight up we haven't learned anything better. So for example, let's go back to, you know, I don't know, the 1500s. Everyone's sure that we're the center of everything, right? And everything right. rotates around us. That was common knowledge. That I don't know if I'd call that a superstition, but it might be later on when we have new knowledge and say, well, actually, there's the sun and it's just our solar system and this and that. There are still people go, well, I think when the sun is red, that's a sign that it's time to have babies or whatever. You know, I don't know where it comes from, but it usually feels like it's fear-based when people come up with that.
I think
somebody has
them...
to have started it, right? Somebody has to say, oh, there's a penny on the ground. I'm going to pick that up, and I'm going to tell people that the act of picking up that penny is good luck,
right.
Or something good happened to them when they did that, and they said, oh, must have been that penny I picked up. Oh, but it didn't happen to me the second time. Oh, that's because it was face down or heads down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of definitions of superstitions, and a lot of them have to do with, you know, being fear-based. That's an interesting way to put it, Scott, because a lot of early definitions of superstition had to do with religion or mystical beliefs, you know, that irrational sort of beliefs or practices that people engage in to affect some sort of an outcome, right? Like,
right.
And some people define superstition. Some historians and sociologists would describe a superstition as a pejorative, it's a pejorative that's used. It's a one group who doesn't believe in it is calling it a superstition. Whereas if you did obviously believe in whatever that system of beliefs is, you wouldn't call it a superstition because it's
superstition is a negative term saying that what you're doing is BS.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the 40s, a psychologist, B.F. Skinner, famous behavioral psychologist, he noticed what he called superstitions in a bunch of experiments he was doing with pigeons. You may have heard of Skinner in relation to pigeon boxes, and he had a bunch of, he would just put pigeons in boxes and make them do things for food and then observe the results. And that has led to what we would, I think, a lot of people refer to as sort of a modern day definition of superstition, which has to do with a behavior that we engage in because we think it leads to some sort of positive outcome or avoiding a negative outcome. So it leads to some change in outcome. But it's the reason it's a superstition is because the behavior we're engaging in actually has zero connection to the outcome, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And usually it's some sort of an accident. So like an example, the reason I obviously brought it up with Vegas is because there's superstition everywhere in gambling, right?
Right. Totally.
And our brains are sort of wired for it. Because we're always looking for patterns. Like you hear that all the time. We're pattern seeking animals, right? I have examples of just this past week of how, even though I know superstition, like I'm not a superstitious person, but I feel the tug in my head when I'm doing things like when we were playing craps. I remember specifically, we were all there together playing craps and we were doing horribly. Like it was going really bad. Mm-hmm. And then, Scott Fletcher joined us.
Uh-oh, that changed everything.
He walked up, and as soon as he walked up, that's when things started going well. And then
the luck changed, yeah.
Yeah, and then he said he was just stopping in to say hi, and he was about to leave, and I think I yelled at him and told him that he's not allowed to go anywhere.
Wow.
And it was kind of a joke, right? Yeah. It was, of course, a joke, but your brain, I still picked up on it, right?
Yeah, your brain says things were going bad until this event. I don't want that event to end. It's like was the football player, Packers guy for a while, who wouldn't shave his beard
right
during the playoffs because he felt like as long as he had his beard, they would keep winning, or you know, whatever the reason is. Aaron Rodgers, shave his beard.
Yeah,
that guy's got other problems besides superstition that are far worse. But
feels like it's all a little rooted in it, though, doesn't it? Like
it totally does. Like sports, big time. There's stuff you don't do, and you don't, you know, in the locker room, you don't say a certain word, or you don't, you make sure you have the same meal before every game because you don't want to mess up the things that are working.
It's in it's in endeavors where there's a lot of stakes, right? You want things to go a certain way, and gambling certainly has a lot of stakes.
I would guess there's got to be pilot to kind of paint in your parlance, paint with your brush. Are there pilot superstitions that, you know, as you were going through class, it's, you know, your instructor said, well, this is kind of a little superstition, but we always do it. You never put your scarf on the left side, your pilot scarf. You always put it to the right, or you don't go under the wing of the plane. You always come to the plane and go, you know, from the back end. Or
I think a lot of people do it just because they want to, even if they don't truly believe it, they're like, well, what can it hurt for me to tap this gem or squeeze this stone before I go into this meeting or whatever? And
I was never made aware of any for piloting, but I think the rewards are high, or the potential reward is high with little cost, right? That's kind of what you're getting at, Scott. Like like it's easy to do some of these little superstitious behaviors. There's not very much cost. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what makes it so easy and why we're so wired to pick up on these patterns all the time. I mean, there's so many, we can notice them so very easily. I remember we were playing, again, it has to do with craps. We were playing craps at one of those machines where you have to push the button to roll the dice.
Yeah.
And
that's known, that game, by the way, is known as Chebets.
Chebets.
Because you have to play Chebets.
Oh, shit.
And
that's terrible.
And Claire was sitting there with us. She wasn't playing, but she was sitting there with us, and she was just, you know, because Claire is Claire. She wanted to smash the button all the time. She wanted to hit all the buttons for everybody. She was going around doing that, and we noticed very quickly that whenever she hit the button with her right hand, whenever we were trying for the point, if we wanted a 7 or an 11, she needed to hit it with her left hand. If we wanted left anything hand, else, she needed to hit it with her right hand.
Gotcha.
And, you know, we noted, again, we don't believe that's really sure. happening, but we sure. notice it. Mm. Even
it's
though
it's the other grocery line always moves faster, right? You don't notice mm-hmm. it when you're in the one that's moving faster, but sure enough, when you're in the one that's moving slower, it's like always. It's always the other line yeah. that's moving faster.
Yeah,
yeah,
right, right.
I hate that.
Is there, so go ahead. Safety things that turned into superstitions. I think of like the reason I don't walk under ladders is because I don't want anything falling on me, not because I'm worried about any sort of superstition.
Right.
I just picture a paint can falling down from the guy who's painting up at the top of that ladder. So I'm not going to walk under that ladder. But somebody said, oh, well, it's bad luck to walk under ladders. Maybe as a way to say to keep his kids from from ever walking under a ladder.
Well,
I think there probably is, right? Yeah. Like that's a really good example. Because I always think of when I hear of superstitions, I always want to think of, you know, like when you think of interesting words, you want to know the etymology of the word. Mm-hmm. I always want to know like the history or the quote unquote yeah. etymology of like yeah. a superstition. Where did it begin?
For sure. Yeah. The black cat one crossing your path always fascinated me.
Yeah. And I bet you there are plenty. Like the latter one is such a good example of like this is a superstition, but it's also, you know, kind of just a good idea.
It's a really good idea. Don't walk under a ladder. Just don't. Right. It's, you know,
yeah.
There's maybe no reason.
Don't walk under a piano being hoisted up the side of a tall building. You just don't right. do it. It's not because it's bad luck or not.
Yeah. Exactly. It is interesting though, because you're talking about almost universal societal conditioning. When I see mm-hmm. a ladder mm-hmm. and I know in my heart of hearts that there's nothing wrong with me walking under that ladder. Or yeah, if I see yeah, a black yeah. cat, it doesn't mean anything. But my right. brain still immediately goes, oh, yeah, there's that whole thing about not walking under ladders or don't yeah. step on a crack. You break your mama's back or whatever. These things right. they needle into our brains, even if we've only heard yeah. it once, because there's something about us that says, well, if this is right, then I want to be prepared. And so you like glom onto it. And mm-hmm. You could solve a lot of human problems if we didn't do that so much, don't you
yeah.
think?
Oh, yeah. for sure. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Flat earthers would wake up from, you know.
I have a black cat that crosses my path multiple times per day here, Salem, Massachusetts.
How's your luck going? You got good luck right now?
Totally. I feel like my luck is as good or bad as it ever was.
Excellent.
Which means non-existent.
There you have it.
The way that Skinner noticed all this, by the way, is that the pigeons, I think this is fascinating. He had these pigeons in a box, and he was testing what are called reinforcement schedules, which is just like timing of when the pigeons would get rewards and seeing how quickly the pigeons would learn to do different behaviors. Well, he was testing one where there was no connection between, like it was set up to be that there would be no connection between the pigeons like pressing buttons or pulling levers or something like that, right. And the reward they get. It was just totally a set schedule. It was just the box they were in was just programmed to spit out food at a set interval, mm. right? Mm-hmm. Just had nothing to do with what the pigeons were actually doing.
Right.
But he noticed that there were a lot of pigeons that would start to have these strange behaviors like swinging their heads back and forth like a pendulum or turning a certain number of circles in the cage. And he thought, that's odd. And then he would notice as he paid attention that some of these pigeons were picking up these behaviors because it was something that the pigeon happened to be doing right before food came out one time.
Mm.
And so he thought, this looks just like superstitious behavior in humans, right? And so he tested it and found that that's what was happening. Pigeons were learning, quote-unquote, learning behaviors that had nothing to do with, like, that was not how the researchers were determining when they would get food.
Right.
But mm-hmm. the pigeons very quickly learned to do it, you know, because they just happened to be doing it. And so he called that superstition. And it's very much thought that that's how humans often pick up superstitious behaviors. Now, some superstitious behaviors are just cultural and you pick it up because someone told you about it.
Right.
But there are other ones like what we just talked about with you know, my experience with gambling in Vegas this week or other things that we do in our life that are just picked up because it just happens to coincide with something happening that we want to happen. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, can you call superstition, like, it's one thing to say, well, if I walk under the ladder, it's bad luck. Or if I step on a crack, I break my mama's back. These all sound ridiculous and kind of pop culture-y. But what is it when let's say you grow up in a family where the extreme of superstition happens, where it's like, well, Billy, we believe that if you, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. If you go to a doctor, that's against our religion. And if you go to a doctor, you will die. You're going to die because that's against our religion. That feels like it's still, that's still the problem. That's still the same kind of thing, right? Just at a higher level of, not abuse, but you know what I'm trying to say. Like, it's not
manipulation. I know what you're saying.
It's more severe.
And it could be, it could be that those types of things started as superstitions. I when it comes to like cultural beliefs or religious beliefs or things like that, I a lot of people will in a derogatory way call that superstition. I think that I know why people say that, but I think that that those types of beliefs have gone beyond superstition and they've turned into something else, because now they're like institutionally and culturally set in stone, right? When it gets passed on to you, you can call it a superstition, but it's almost not in the way that a psychologist is calling a superstition. You know, now it's something else entirely,
right?
It's a cultural practice that you're doing for probably a lot of different reasons, maybe just because you're expected to, you know,
right?
And you would rationalize it because as something that you do because you're trying to avoid some sort of downside,
right?
But it didn't begin that way, maybe, you know?
Right. That's interesting.
It becomes very complicated.
Yeah, the best part about superstitions is when you think about them or talk about them like this, it's a great way of like reminding yourself that you probably even have a few of these things. Maybe they're small. Like I have routines. Yeah. Sometimes you'll think it's just your routine, but then if you're really obsessive about it, you might
think about, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, why? Yeah.
It's good to stop and do that once in a while, I think. You know,
totally is. Absolutely.
Change it up a little. Well, Bobby, that's fascinating.
Thanks.
Do you have any superstitions you'd like to get rid of, Bobby, we can help you with today? Like,
I don't know. I think I do have some superstitions. I'm really superstitious about like when something important like is happening or coming up. I'm really superstitious about telling people about it.
Mm.
Like if I've got to take a big test or I've got an interview coming up, I might describe that as a superstition. Like, I don't tell people because I'm afraid it will be bad if I tell people. It's more like I don't want to tell people because I don't want to have to like get mine and their hopes up. But it's very close to a superstition, right? Like, there's no real reason for me not to.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't. So
I feel you.
Yeah.
Well, may you all at home be less superstitious. And send in your questions for Bobby. And also, if you have thoughts about how fuel works in airplanes, boy, howdy, do we have room for that as well.
I do have one thing before I go. Please. Just a real quick thank you to everybody. Zoe's fundraiser, remember I talked about last time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She has, her goal was $250. And right now, because of all of you fantastic people, she's sitting at $3,081.
Jeez. That's amazing.
Yeah,
I love it, dude.
Has she seen the light? Does she understand?
Is she going to buy a zoo? Is that the plan?
She's, she's going to buy 50 copies of Zoo Tycoon.
There we go.
Wow.
But, that's a lot. No, she's very excited and super grateful. And if nothing else, you know, it's definitely a chunk of change to send to the zoo, and everybody should feel good about that. I know she does, and she's super excited about that. That's why she wanted to do it. But everybody should also feel really, really good about making her, you know,
proving her wrong.
Proving her wrong. Making her realize that because she definitely has changed her thoughts about that. She's told me, like, people do care about these kinds of things. Like, she said that to me, and I thought, that's the reason I wanted to prove her wrong, like you said.
That's the reason we wanted to help. I'm glad to hear it did. That's fantastic.
It worked, and she definitely feels a lot better, and she's very excited to give them that money. And so, thank you, everybody, is what I wanted to say.
Yeah, she's a sweet kid, and she deserves it. That's awesome. Well, Bobby, on that lovely note, may your day be full of, I don't know, whatever you like to do. Okay?
You too.
Yeah. Bye now.
See you, Bobby.
That's sweet, though. $3,000. Jeez.
That's amazing. Good for her.
Need to do an iPad. Now she's going to think
that, you know, just involve the tadpole in every future thing that needs to be done.
Oh, the down payment on this house. I don't know what to do.
tadpole.
Tadpole, do you have money? Anyway, you guys made a little girl happy, and that's what matters, everybody.
That's the important thing, exactly.
Good job. One final thing.
Also, go ahead. One more quick thing about Superstition. Yeah. Stevie Wonder wrote it with the intent on Jeff Beck releasing his version first. So Stevie Wonder's version was almost a cover, but his label rushed to get Stevie's version out and out into the market before Jeff Beck's version made it onto an album. But the intent was Stevie Wonder wrote it for Jeff Beck to release it first and then for Stevie Wonder to release his version.
Oh. Well, there you go. Now,
even if it's still written by him, it's still a cover depending on who gets it out first.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
It's all about covers, order.
Cover is only determined by first release and subsequent releases.
Nice.
Released.
I like that.
Released.
Yeah, like with
the released you could do is. Yeah.
That's great. All right, quick email. This is from Tina in Moody, Alabama. That place is just moody.
Don't go on a bad day to Moody, Alabama.
No. Nope. She said she was talking about TMB, which is too many birthdays, the term EMTs use for old people who die. She says this on TMS 2635. You guys were talking about the EMT shorthand for old people who die being TMB, which is too many birthdays. I work in veterinary medicine, and thought you might like to know our shorthand for a pet with nondescript symptoms is ADR for ain't doing right. We use it all the time.
This poor dog has ADR. Yep. Just ain't doing right.
ADR is like also dubbing, right? Like
it's also the voice, doing voice work after, or as we call it, the entirety of Super Snooper / Super Fuzz was ADR.
Yeah. And if you don't remember it, just think of the song and you'll remember it. Hold on a second, though. ADR stands, so what does that stand for when it's for that? Attention, no.
Something, oh, you mean like the something recording.
Audio something recording?
Yeah, I think so. Additional dialogue recording. Thank you, Bobby.
There you go. Thank you. More science. Well done.
The science of movies.
That's right. Sure. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is where that came from. You can also text or voicemail us, 801-471-0462. Everything else is linked at frogpants.com/TMS. That'll do it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow with Recommendals and Tom and Wednesday shit. I'm excited.
I'm going to have 3 Recommendals tomorrow. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, but
I'm
going to
lump
Lord.
Them all into one. All into one.
Wow.
Mush them together like a pot pie full of Recommendals.
I'm excited to see how you do that. That sounds intense.
Yeah. One audio clip is how I'm going to do it. That's how it's going to work. Yeah.
We'll watch for that. That's tomorrow. In the meantime, let's play a song and get out of here. What do you got?
Yeah. Jeff Collins wrote in and said, another Cinco de Mayo, so another birthday. 3 more years to 50. Let Scott do the math. Just kidding. Thank you in advance for the call out and the song.
Wow. I don't want to do the math.
Which birthday do you want to play for him?
What did he say was his age? Did he say?
Three more years to 50.
Three more? I think, you know what? We said 40, so you get the old lady. Hold on. Where is she? I can't find her now. She's wandered off. Come on back, Grandma.
Happy birthday.
There you go.
Perfect. His request is, I leave it to the cover master to pick a song, reach deep into your iTunes, and play something that you love. Oh, Jeff. You know, I love it when people do that. Just pick something you like, Brian. I'm going to pick something I like. I'm going to pick something that I love, as a matter of fact. This is one of those 5-star songs in my library. I've got them labeled. I've got both the stars and the heart because I want to make sure this comes up regularly in my Play Brian Ibbitt station.
Sure.
That I'll just put on while I'm riding my bike. A woman I got to see in concert perform this song several years ago in Fort Collins as part of this thing called E-Town. It was her and Bruce Coburn, not the actor, but the musician.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, this weird. Bruce Coburn spells it C-O-C-K-B-U-R-N, but don't pronounce that like the way it's written.
All right. Yeah. Oh, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay,
yeah.
just hit me. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a song called Cathedrals. This is a song originally done by a band called Jump Little Children. Joan Osborne included it on her 2008 album, Little Wild One. And it is no exaggeration to say that in the right conditions, when I'm listening to this song, I will tear up because it is such a moving like her vocals, the arrangement, the piano, the build that this thing does, and you get to that last chorus and she comes in and it's like, oh my God, it is enough to bring a tear to my eye. So here is Joan, have a tissue handy, folks. Joan Osborne and the song Cathedrals.
Buildings of fallen angels on the ceilings, oily feathers in bronze and concrete, faded colors, pieces left incomplete. The line moves slowly past the electric fence, across the borders between continents, in the cathedrals of New York and Rome, there is a feeling that you should just go home and spend a lifetime finding out just where that is. Architecture is slowly peeling, marble statues and glass dividers. Someone is watching all of the outsiders. The line moves slowly through the numbered gate, past the mosaic of the head of state. Endlessly kneeling, sonic landscapes, echoing vistas. Someone is listening from a safe distance. The line moves slowly into a fading light, a final moment in the dead of night.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Ryan, ride that picture of your butt pipe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.